A week ago, I spent my life racing against time.
I'm gonna help you out today, okay?
Trying to save people who were running out of it.
Get it!
Until one moment changed everything.
This is an emergency. Get off the train.
That man's trying to kill you.
What?
Who are you? What is going on?
I can see the future.
Da 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 da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy.
Are you serious?
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's showtime.
We spent last week in the cesspool that was Argyle. We continue wading around the cesspool this week as we discuss one brought to us courtesy Sony Pictures in association with Marvel and apparently Pepsi Pictures. It's Madam Web time on Mad About Movies. Welcome in. I'm Kent, joined by co-hosts Richard, Brian. Boys, how we doing? We're almost to Dune 2, I promise. A couple more weeks here. But man, they are starting off the year strong, depending on your perspective.
Should we take February off in the future? Just do throwbacks or something for February?
Yeah.
I
say just take it
off. I have so little will to live at this point. I mean, it's dark days, man. This was freaking brutal.
It's pretty bad. It seems to be the new September is February now, and you just drop in movies that you know are bad. And yeah,
where are those tax write-offs when we need them?
I know. You're right. Yeah.
Could really go for a Looney Tunes movie right about now.
I mean, I'm glad I'm married for a lot of reasons, but I told you guys, I'm super glad I was not trying to impress a girl this Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't have a lot of my self-esteem riding on whether this date went well because it's like, honey, we can go see Madam Web or Argyle or you want to see this Bob Marley movie maybe or
man.
Lisa Frankenstein. I mean, there's just a murderer's row of great movies out right now. So
at least January, you still have all these like Oscar-y movies
that
you didn't get a chance to see.
But even those, it's like, who wants to take a date to see Oppenheimer? You know, like that's not a very lighthearted thing. It does not, I don't know, so to speak. All right. Time to talk Madam Web, fellas. This one is going to be fun for a lot of reasons. And I want to talk just about the concept for this and sort of the discussion up until release. And we'll talk about the movie itself here in a bit and get to spoilers, all that kind of stuff. Don't worry. I think this is a concept that people were kind of in on. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, as I pass it to you. I don't remember there being any negative discourse around we're making a female-led Spider-Man movie with Dakota Johnson. I don't remember that. I don't remember the negativity until it feels like Dakota saw a screening of it, maybe, and then it kind of started to get out there that it was bad, and then people started
the trailer
to turn on
it. The trailer.
Was
it horrendous, man.
Yeah, but I just
because of the whole.
I don't
like,
feel like there was negativity until very recently. I might be wrong though.
I don't totally remember, but I think there was some, number one, I think people focused a lot of their attention on Kraven the Hunter, which we still have that to look forward to, which I think we all expect is just a real turd of a movie. And then you can make some jokes about Venom 3 if you want to as well. I'm happy to join in that. People really like Dakota Johnson. It's not for me. This is not my jam, really. She's been very good in a couple of things. And very bad in some other things. I feel like it's fine. That's like a lot of actors and actresses. It doesn't. I think on average, most people are way more in on whatever Dakota Johnson is doing than I am. So maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. I thought this sounded like a terrible idea, just from the standpoint of we can't just give a movie to every person who's ever had like a comic book named after them for seven runs or whatever. I mean, you know, we're gonna like the idea of like a female led superhero movie. That's fine. I mean, That's what I say publicly, but you guys all see my text. But no, like that part's totally fine. Like, and in some ways, like, okay, yeah, cool. We do need more women and female characters, female led movies, all these sorts of things. Great. Did it need to be this one? I would say probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah, probably sets things back if anything, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah. So for
I don't remember if there was an immediate initial outcry on this thing or if it has just built over time. The trailer was horrendous. And yeah, the press tour, I don't know that Sony could have imagined a less successful press tour than the one that Dakota Johnson and to a lesser extent Sydney Sweeney have been on over these last couple of months.
I think there was positivity because of Sony's handling of Spider-Verse and all that, and how they handled letting Marvel and or MCU do what they want, Marvel Studios do what they want with Spider-Man, and kind of worked in tandem with them, I think, on No Way Home. And
people are less down on Venom than we are.
Right.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Generally speaking, unfortunately, we're going to have to see Venom 3 at some point, but I think the general public, you're right, enjoys those movies. And so I think at the outset, people were like, okay, I'll give this a chance. Mm-hmm. Then you start hearing some rumblings, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. And I think this started around November, and it kind of culminated with Dakota Johnson's hosting of Saturday Night Live, in which I think the same day she hosted, she fired her agents and moved reps. So we're like, why would she switch reps when she's clearly doing really well? Oh, something must be going on. Probably saw this movie. And that leads me to a huge part of, I think, the reason Dakota Johnson's in this, the reason Sydney Sweeney's in this. Their agents did not know this was not the MCU. Which leads me to ask the question.
Right.
If you're at that level in Hollywood, if you're repping Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney, don't you think you need to be familiar with the most popular cinematic franchise and what that is and whether this is part of that? I mean, that is a huge mistake from their teams. I mean, they probably didn't even know till they were on set and probably had shot a lot of this that this was not connected.
So this is a bit of speculation, but my feeling on this is the agents definitely knew that Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney maybe did not know, and their agents did not properly inform them what they were.
Because they wouldn't have wanted to do it.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what Sydney Sweeney's contract. Dakota Johnson got paid $5 million-ish to do this movie. Look, if they were not informed that this is the movie that they are doing, then you totally get why Dakota Johnson fires her agent and all of these things. They were like tagging like MCU in their Instagram posts and stuff on this, and it's just like, oh no. But also, this is not that complicated, guys. Like, it's stupid. It's stupid that we have this weird. It's fine for some rando that goes to see 5 movies a year to be not super sure of what is and is not an MCU movie. I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily feel like I need my agent to tell me that this is not. And it does not take much to figure this out. So anyway, all this to say,
the fact that you're going to the Sony lot and not the Disney lot is probably
might explain some things. Anyway, but I got the impression that the agents definitely knew that this is the movie that it is, that maybe the stars were unaware, and if that's
stars
the case,
were
then
definitely unaware. I mean,
yeah,
for sure.
So if that's the case, look, you got to take a little bit of that on yourself. You can also totally see why you might fire your agent or move on to something else. But also, like, you know, this is pretty basic information at this point. Like, it's not too much to ask, I think, for you to know, since you are in this industry, to either know the difference or to not care. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're completely innocent bystanders in all this, but that's the impression.
I mean, I think to the extent that they would trust their agent's opinion on whether they should do it, and which leads me to ask, did they read the script? What?
Well, you know, I don't know how much agents
know what
are going to
Lorenzo Bonaventura has done. It's a very confusing situation about how this all the fact that this movie exists is kind of a, it's pretty amazing, honestly.
Yes.
It's
of a second movie in a week that's of a different era. It's of a 2002 time. You know, I think that's more, I'm even more conspiracy theory on this in that I think there were some, probably some talks when this was starting to get made about mergers, different rights, moving over certain ways. The Sony piece has been fluid for 10 years now. Like every time they make one of these, it's allegedly the last one they're going to do. And then they kind of keep making something with Spider-Man to kind of keep that version of their movie studio going. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some things promised that this would maybe eventually be brought into some kind of universe.
Sure.
And that's why they fired the agent. I think it's more like along those lines. And then that kind of fell through. You know, I don't know if the, I don't know if someone of Dakota Johnson's caliber is like going to agents for opinion on what to do more than they are for negotiation power. And, you know, I'm thinking there was probably also a large back end portion of this. And when this turned out, it was going to be a flop. It was probably also a little peeved on the negotiation.
Sure.
You're going,
sure. No, these are all good points. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's certainly a huge, huge like macro whiff, but, you know, these things, I mean, I don't know, honestly. And I'm not trying to be like a Johnny come lately, like an act like the MCU is not something I've enjoyed over for the most part over the last 15 years. Certainly has been. But I don't know if this is much better in 2024, if it's even an MCU movie, just because the concept and everything is so bad.
Yeah, totally agree.
No, it has no chance. I mean, it's
it
feels like some of those knockoff Marvel movies that started to come out after X-Men, like The Punisher, the original Punisher movie.
That's, I mean, it feels like 2003. It feels like
Catwoman kind of feel. Yeah.
Yep.
It does have that.
Catwoman is the closest thing to this, in my opinion. Like, that's the movie I felt like I was watching.
I mean, it's clear to me, in my opinion, that Dakota Johnson, like, from frame one, isn't trying. And if she is, I mean, we've got a problem.
That's kind of her thing, though, right? I mean, I don't know. I
hope not.
You know. Well, I mean, that was the issue with the 50 Shades movies, too, the sequels to those. Like, she just kind of is so low energy on a lot of stuff that it's hard to tell when she's trying or not, all that stuff.
I think this was a major point of discussion in our Discord this week was sort of became like a Dakota Johnson versus Hugh Grant kind of thing.
Oh.
Where it was like, the three of us, we've spoken at length about how much we enjoy Hugh Grant's, not just I don't care, but actually I actively hate doing this and how much fun that usually is. And then Dakota Johnson was taking a lot of flack for kind of having similar attitude and vibes. My point on that was just the difference is I feel like Hugh Grant hates the process of certainly of getting out and selling his movie, and sometimes hates the process of making his movie, but I don't feel like that bleeds into the performance in the movie. And maybe in the case of something like Music and Lyrics, maybe, but generally speaking, Hugh Grant plays a type and you're going to get that type, and it's, he does pretty well at it, depending on how you stand on Hugh Grant. I think the difference is Dakota Johnson, it feels like, to your point, Kent, it's not just that she did not enjoy making this movie and did not enjoy selling this movie. That comes through in the performance. So that kind of like flat, unengaged thing that she does, that can work really well. This sort of like almost like a curmudgeonly kind of approach to doing a press tour or whatever, that can work. In the press tour, it's tough to sell that in the movie if you're bringing that same vibe to the movie. In fairness, I like Sydney Sweeney a lot. I think she's terrible in this, and she's trying, I think. I don't know that Dakota Johnson was trying, so I don't know. Maybe it's a...
Can we stop
two different criticisms, but yeah.
Universally hot people as shy, awkward nerds. Like
it's a terrible, especially at this point with her.
I mean, Tom Holland. I mean, look, really, the shy, awkward nerd.
At least he's short.
Yes.
Like, literally.
And he still feels like a child. I don't really feel like Sydney Sweeney still feels, I mean, she's 27. She's playing a 16-year-old at this point, and she's 20. I don't know. I mean, I know that's a long time Hollywood thing, but I don't know. We could probably set that aside. With her especially, maybe.
Just those three characters brought almost nothing to this movie. It should have just been Madame Web and her life, you know? It's like, it really didn't go anywhere. It felt like it was setting up for something that we're going to see at some point, some kind of team-up movie.
That we're never going to see.
That we're never going to see.
We're never going to see.
There was no Spider-Women action between those three at any point, other than some weird flashbacks.
There's no superheroes in this superhero movie. Yeah. I mean, that's like the number one issue right off the bat, is they are literally superheroes for a flashback scene and the final 30 seconds of the movie? I mean,
we talked about the VIP this week. We talked about When Harry Met Sally. And one of the things we said was, this is a movie, spoiler alert, that everything works. Direction, writing, performances, cinematography. What it's the complete opposite of that is probably this, where nothing works. Yes. Direction, acting, writing, cinematography. This is one of the most terribly directed movies I've seen. I don't know who S.J. Clarkson is, but
I think she comes from television. Like,
she's done some prestige. TV work.
TV. Yeah, okay. There you go. This felt like TV. It felt like an episode of 911. Have you ever seen that show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very similar to this. The ambulances, chases. There's this one character that's Jennifer Love Hewitt in 911 that's just in a control room the entire time, like a dispatcher. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
She lives next door to Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, come on over.
Ed Harris's backyard.
I'll put a key under the mat. Just let me know. You got Thursdays are all yours.
Right.
And
he's
the producer.
Super nice about that.
Right.
Lorenzo Di Bonaventura. And if you click on his name on the old Rotten Tomatoes, he is responsible for such series as G.I. Joe, Retaliation, Doom, Annihilation. Mm. Remember this one? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Classics.
Last year's Meg 2, The Trench, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like 9 out of 10 movies are rotten that he's done. And not just like rotten, like extremely rotten, like 10%, 11%, 17%. So the track record's there. All the warning signs were there. For some reason, these guys that wrote Morbius keep getting work. Like, they just signed those guys up again to write this movie. I don't know.
Just what so are they excited about doing this over and over again? It's unbelievable, really.
It's incredible that this didn't work. I mean, who could have seen that? You know.
So this is one of the big points. Is like, I feel like we have to give studios a little bit of cover, a little bit of grace on superhero movies over the next couple of years, because it's last year changed everything, and it's going to take a little bit of time for them to, number one, figure out what to move to next. But also, it's just like, we've already got all these movies in production. We can't just stop all of them. So you're going to have some grace on, hey, this movie did very, very poorly at the box office, blah, blah, blah.
You have to understand, we greenlit this when even the bad ones are making $300 million.
Exactly. When Venom can make $800 million, you can understand why some of these movies get made. Still extending the grace to Sony on this one. There's not one redeeming part of this movie, and there was never going to be a redeeming part.
The only thing is that it's Spider-Man. Like, that's the only thing that I think they could say. Well, even a bad Spider-Man movie will make $400 million because Spider-Man is just, you print money when you do Spider-Man property. And that, I can see that.
You might want to make kids like it then, because kids love Spider-Man. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe do that.
But
then,
the fact that, like, how is this going to tie in? Like, because this doesn't obviously tie in to anything. It's
It's
too standalone. I get what you're saying for the Spider-Man fan that loves Tom Holland Spider-Man, or loved Spider-Verse, or even loved the last Sony ones, to see this trailer and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I got you. I see what they're doing here. You know, it's just too, honestly, obviously money grabby. like, oh, they're just making another Spider-Man that sure. has nothing the, to do with anything? Okay.
Right. Right. It almost reminds you of like those, it's not even like the, remember when they made like a Captain America movie for $80,000 or whatever, just to retain the rights in like the late 80s, early 90s? That's almost what it feels like, except on an $80 million budget. It's made so, I can't even call it cynically. It's just incompetence. It's just incredible incompetence from top to bottom on this.
It's like if really dumb people are cynical.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're just, because you're right, Kent, like money grab is not the wrong term. It's just,
they did this because they could.
Dumbest money grab of all time. Like there was no world in which this could be successful. The only positive that I can give it is that they only spent $80 million making it. Because you just assume with a movie like this that like the floor is $150 million at this point. You know,
it's like saying
having been greenlit in a different era. But
we're going to do a money grab. We are going to rob this place and walking by. We want $1 billion and walking by the Swiss bank and then robbing the Arby's. And you go, yeah, that was technically a money grab, but that was a really dumb money grab. That Arby's is not going to have $1 billion in it.
The vault was open in the bank, too. It was weird. Like, I don't, I mean.
Right.
Just and, so stupid, man. Yeah. So stupid.
I mean, we mentioned.
But other than that, I liked it.
Mentioned Dakota mailing it in. I think Sydney definitely mails it in. But Emma Roberts, I mean. She does not give 1 ounce of effort, I don't think, in this movie. It was almost like clapping. I was like, wow, this is impressively mailing it in. It was amazing. Yeah. And then the baby shower scene, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yep. It's bad. Why did we...
It was tough,
Uncle
man.
Ben, have you ever been shot in Queens? Mm-hmm. What are we doing, that one was guys? Rough. That's what I'm saying. Like, read this. Did they not read the script? Any normal person could have read this and be like, no, this is not...
You guys, I went to see this today.
You guys didn't see it on IMAX like I did, though. Oh,
that's true.
It's my new bit. I'm seeing all these kind of movies on IMAX.
I like this. I like it. I went to see it today, and there were three other people in my theater, and no one was near me, so I live tweeted it in our Discord. And I think I made note of like five different lines of dialogue that were the worst line of dialogue of the last decade, and there was like 10 of them. I mean, it was so bad. So yes, how does this scene get through? How does that line get through? There was one where she was like, I don't know if he's in Shanghai or Mumbai or Shanghai. I was like, how do we get that through? This is,
my favorite line, which I wrote down, Brian,
so bad, dude.
Was towards the end, spoilers coming up, where Cassandra can see the future. Cassie can see the future.
Yeah.
She says to her new friends, your futures were almost so different. You're lucky I saw them. I loved that.
That was deep.
The entire execution of the idea of she can see events before they happen was so shoddily done. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about bad direction.
And aggressively poorly done. Like,
it's done where you don't know if it's happening now or in the future or in the past. You don't know because... the way it's edited, so it's like, am I seeing something now, or am I seeing something?
Yeah,
in the past, I was constantly confused on whether what I was seeing was actually happening, or if this is a flashback or flash forward. It was so bad; it was so confusing,
and it was edited to almost be like a jump scare too.
Yes,
and so like that was definitely a choice, but not the choice that I would have made, because I just felt like I was being assaulted every time she did a flashback or flash forward, whatever you want to call it. It was just like jarring my brain. It was not enjoyable. It's just an aggressively unenjoyable movie from a look and sound level. Which, like, how, why, and why? Like, how did this happen? You know, it's a. This is where we decided to make our kind of director's trademark choices. Like, oh my gosh,
you hire a TV director.
That's rough.
That's kind of what you sign up for. So, I mean, the first scene with the mother, 9 months pregnant, mind you, searching for
in the Amazon.
Yeah, with no kind of jacket, no kind of protective bee suit, anything going on there. That's definitely smart. We open with that.
Uh-huh. That's the trailer scene, but the line's not in it. The line that went crazy viral.
She says about half of it at one point. And I was like, I did the Leo. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it turned, I think. When that trailer came out in that line, that's where it was like, oh, this is going to be... I just thought it would be a come and go movie. Before that, once the trailer came out, was that like 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago? It was like, oh, this is going to be this is Cats. Yeah.
It's getting tarred, but in the wrong
way. Yeah.
In the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have that play out.
Tar should be in Spider-Man. Let's do that at least.
We're not 4 minutes into the movie and the spider natives come down. And I don't know what I was. I stood up and I considered walking down the aisle and leaving. But I said, nope, this is for the Mam Fam. Sat down. So I'm going to ask you guys, what do you prefer? Mm-hmm. Spider natives or natives named Spider?
Well, at one point, I'm trying to find it. Because I made a note of it. At one point, she is going through her mother's belongings. And she talks to herself a lot. This is always like the mark of a good movie.
Good screenwriting when people talk out loud to themselves.
When people speak out loud to, number one, themselves. Number two, the cat. The cat.
Yeah, I got to have a cat.
Number three, for some reason, she's watching A Christmas Carol on 1978 Zenith.
Well, it was 2003, Brian.
Brian.
That's what we had there. You don't remember 2003? Oh, we only watched 70s Zenith.
The other time, when the bird flies into her apartment, she starts talking to the bird.
This doesn't change anything. Yeah. But when she's flipping through all of her mother's stuff, talking to either herself or the cat or both.
The screenwriting thing of show, don't tell, and if you tell, don't have them do it to itself. That would be my when I teach my screenwriting class.
That'd be pretty easy, I feel like. But she says, ah, there it is, spider people.
Yeah.
she's looking through like her mom's Rolodex. And just, spider people.
And when she's like, I'm going to go trace her steps back. And then they just cut to her immediately at the tree, the exact tree. Oh, that was easy.
It just hasn't changed in 32 years.
Wow, yeah. She told me exactly where it was. Yeah, it was incredibly detailed instructions she left.
So stupid.
Oh, gosh. The spider natives were, I mean, all the spider villain type stuff, it was, to me, Brian, it was the putties from Power Rangers. Was it not?
Mm-hmm. Well, they wrote the freaking Power Rangers movie, so I guess that makes sense.
The way they moved, the way they were attacking, it was the putties from the first Power Rangers movie.
Awful, man. That's just awful. I don't... Oh,
I loved it.
It's just so... Needle drops were rough, too. Got some... I think we're alone now. That was the one where I was like, okay, my eyes may never recover from this. Eye rolling here. This may be stuck for life. That was pretty brutal.
Remember when
got a nice
she
5 minute pointer scene of her teaching them how to do CPR in the middle of a freaking superhero movie? Reason. That's definitely that's useful. That's the one thing missing from Avengers Endgame.
I agree.
Like I've always said.
Yep. that Hawkeye didn't stop, prop the head back, give appropriate paramedic.
Yeah, when someone's having a seizure, you want to make sure they don't bite their tongue.
You know when she's with her paramedic buddy O'Neill, and she pictures his death but doesn't warn him, and then he drives off, gets hit by a semi, and then he's just immediately dead.
Just so dead, dude.
Just like...
So dead.
She walks up to the car. Like he's dead.
She just opens the door.
Adam Scott walks up to her. He's like, no, no, he's gone. Nothing you can do. He's got T-boned. It's not that big a deal. It's not like he drove off a cliff,
Ambulances are pretty resilient just by nature.
He's gone. There's nothing you
can
do.
Gosh. Yeah.
We can't save him.
Yeah.
He has a broken collarbone. Just let him bleed out.
He just pulls out a gun and puts
him down.
He's
not even conscious. Like, he's gone. Completely.
It's over.
You don't even see that in a 911 episode. Like, that level of incompetent.
It's so bad, man. It's just so bad.
Oh, my God, Brian. Gosh. That's funny. Putting him down. No, there's no coming back. His clavicle's...
He's like
lightly
talking.
Fractured.
I feel okay, actually. Nope.
I'll drive myself in.
I loved Uncle Ben driving to the hospital and breaking every conceivable traffic law, too, along the way.
Dude.
Don't worry. She's pregnant. It's okay. So do we really have to go birth Peter Parker? Like, are we really doing this now? I guess so.
Why do we have to tie this?
There's a big fight in a fireworks factory that is like the dumbest.
If I hadn't seen Argyle last week, that would have been the dumbest action scene I've seen in a very long time. But fortunately, Argyle
smoke
exists,
dance.
So. Do you think when we named our show Mad About Movies, Madam Web saw into our future and saw the last 2 weeks?
Madam Web about movies. Mm-hmm. She's permanently changed.
It took me about half the movie for me to realize that her last name was Web. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, oh my God.
You just threw your Diet Coke on the person in front of you.
Just
I hate this.
So stupid. This is so stupid for no reason. For absolutely no reason. Oh, man.
Incredible amount of file scenes in this. I mentioned that. Over shirts. Just
the whole incredible. The whole movie is a pointer scene. Yeah. The whole movie. Yes. Like,
it's offensive.
It's so bad. We haven't even talked about Tahar Rahim. Dakota Johnson is an F-minus-minus-minus in this to me. Sydney Sweeney is even worse. Mm-hmm. This guy just like just blowing them both out of the park with how awful he it was. And I've seen him be. He was getting the Mauritanian. He was good in that. I he was at least non-offensive in Napoleon like 2 months ago. This is the worst villain I've ever seen in a superhero movie, I think. It's so... All of his lines felt like they were read in ADR, but like using a microphone from the 70s in a bathroom or something. It was so...
Yeah.
So bad. And he kept changing the accent a little bit. It reminded me of like... I'm watching Curb right now. It reminded me of the Sophia Maria character from last season. Maria Sophia, I can't remember, from last season. You're just like trying out different accents and dialogues at the table reading stuff. That's the worst part of the movie. And there are a lot of terrible parts of this movie. I was kind of blown away by how terrible he was. For it all to end in this action sequence that was awful. And then... I don't know. I was so checked out by this point, but there was no explainer on why she's blind and in a wheelchair, was there? Like, she just...
I think she kind of blows her powers out at the end, right?
Okay.
She got a fender bender. And then Adam Scott gouged her eyes out.
He shot her right in the spine. Nope, can't do anything about this. She's not even laying down.
Yeah, that is pretty. Is she going to be like the Professor X to Sydney Sweeney?
I mean, it felt like the whole point of it was just to create
the
Great Value X-Men. Yeah.
That's a Great Value has some fine products.
Wow, that is brutal. That is so true. And I mean, this has made $50 million so far. Is there any chance this makes money?
They had to have spent so much on ads on this, and for it to get beat by the Bob Marley movie, and not close too. I mean, it wasn't.
They
like,
spent more money on ads. The Bob Marley movie. I've never seen a movie advertised.
They started
more
advertising
than
that, and
I'm not joking.
I think before COVID, actually. So yeah, that's true. But yeah, that
could be like jamming too.
This movie cannot get doubled up basically at the box office by the Bob Marley movie. That can't happen. So this whole movie is an exercise in pointing to the sequel that is not going to happen because of how terrible it is.
That's the most confusing.
How does that go on your resume and you keep getting jobs? How?
Of all the confusing things in this, I was most confused about why they said it in 2003. It made no sense to me. You know, that added $5 to $8 million to the budget. The only reference to it is like they show a Beyonce billboard at some point, and there's some 2003.
There's a Missy Elliott poster somewhere.
Yeah, needle which, drops of 2000.
Like, is that relevant?
I don't understand that. And so here, you know, at some point, Pepsi came forward and was like, "Hey, we got you for $20 million of this. Throw some Pepsi in this bad boy." Yeah, they're like, "Got it,
code
cool,
red
yep,
on that table.
No problem. Yeah, we got you, Pepsi." So they threw Pepsi And I mean, that's got to be everywhere. From the Lorenzo Di Bonaventura school of get Bud Light to pay for Transformers method. But I mean, this thing's full Pepsi, and the Pepsi cans they use were not introduced until like 2009. So oh my God. Just really sets it right home. Could they not have gotten 2003 Pepsi cans? That's all I'm saying. If we're this committed to it.
I love this quote from an industry insider. It says, "We're not going to see another Madam Web movie for another decade plus. It failed. Sony tried to make a movie that was a different type of superhero movie. Sony supposedly plans to rework the entire franchise depending on the success of Kraven the Hunter." But like, I love that they're like, maybe in 14 years, we'll come back to this.
The same public won't be ready for it.
Well, I think that's a good place to end before we hit grades is I think Hollywood Reporter or somebody did a big story about this, and they polled a bunch of people, you know, podcast critics, things like that. And they said the consensus was that this failed because it was a female-led superhero movie.
No.
And I don't think that's the case at all. I think if this was funny and good, then it would have made money. I think that's really that
simple. Wonder Woman did okay, I think. Wonder Woman
yeah, it was good.
Made some money.
Right.
Big sequel. You know, I think that's not the problem at all. I mean,
no, it's that even the general public could smell the stinker on
Morbius
this,
you know? Did horribly too. I mean,
yes,
that's
anyone who is saying that is like, okay, we don't want you to come to the movie anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. You're the worst kind of people. So it doesn't. There's no way that it got skewed that hard by. You know,
I think that's the wrong lesson for Hollywood to take. Like, if executives read that article and they say, oh, well, I told you that, I think that's the wrong lesson. The lesson should be don't hire Morbius guys again after they make terrible movies. Don't hire inexperienced directors to do this. Don't hire a producer that has a horrible track record to put this thing together. Well,
like, this isn't a movie. This isn't a movie. This is not a character.
Don't do things because you can.
Yes. Gosh, it's just not a movie. It's not a character that is begging to be made into a movie. Like, I just don't. There's lots of comic book characters that can just stay on the page.
They could not. They just weren't satisfied, man. They weren't satisfied with just having Spider-Verse be awesome. You know, they're like, man, we can get a little live action action in here too.
Right now, right? Sony's got like nothing else right now.
Yeah, Sony's in a bad spot, but it doesn't help when you keep just cranking out garbage.
They have a bunch of bad producers there. Some could even call them, hold on, sunglasses on, Sony hacks.
Take that, Amy Pascal.
I like that a lot. Well, I think the lesson to learn here is make good movies. And then they'll make money. The end.
Could we get like a consultant gig to just do say that? Just walk into a room and be like, just make good movies. That's it. 100 grand. Thank you. Like, because apparently they need to hear it. Apparently that needs to be said.
How concerned is it? How concerning is it that like this has 8 writers on it and none of them said, this is terrible. Let's just not do this.
Oh, I'm sure they did, but they are getting paid.
They also got a little bit of money.
Well, yeah, you're right. They got the gig. I don't know. I feel like I could write a screenplay better than this in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Good grief.
While watching it, I text y'all. I can't remember. I was like, actually, I'm on the side of the studios now the writer's strike. Like, no. AI should replace these people. This is
AI would have done a better job.
So bad, man. Like,
even AI would be like, no, a pregnant woman would never do that.
No, it's just like that scene. Look, again, I'm a big Sydney Sweeney fan. I'm not really a Dakota Johnson fan. I thought she was much worse than Dakota Johnson was. The worst scene in the movie was Cassie talking to her mom via the spider people or whatever in the past. Yes. And like, oh, you went to the Amazon for me. That was the worst scene in the movie.
This is where you were born. That was the worst for me, where the dude was back there with her, you know, and he was like, this. By the way, I killed your mom. Yeah, we knew that. You're really evil.
We get it. Was he invisible to everybody else? He's crawling on the wall right above human beings, and they just like don't, they didn't even see
him. Yeah, I don't think he's not invisible. Even,
okay. Well, that makes sense.
I think he was just on the ceiling, man. Couldn't see him up there. The scene where Dakota Johnson tries to climb the wall and falls down. It's like, what are we doing here?
Oh, it's so bad. She doesn't even.
We do have. So here's Columbia Pictures, aka Sony's movies upcoming in 2024. You guys want to hear a couple?
Yes.
We got the new Ghostbusters, new Garfield movie, Bad Boys 4.
Okay.
Which might get delayed because of strike. So we'll hold out on that.
Mm-hmm. God willing.
Project Artemis.
Okay.
Harold and the Purple Crown, Kraven the Hunter, Venom 3, and an untitled Karate Kid film. That's needed. So, you know, they've got some cool properties coming too. They've got a Metal Gear Solid movie coming out. That's going to be great. Spider Women is in production. I'm going to go ahead and report that I think that's been canceled. And an untitled Olivia Wilde film project that is in this. It's a co-production with Marvel. So, oh boy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. That does not sound great. What's Project Artemis?
That is a Andy Weir.
That's book. Right.
He's the guy who wrote The Martian. And I believe
it's the one with Gauze.
I think
Lord and Miller.
I think Lord and Miller. Yeah Lord and Miller are doing that. Or they might just be producing it though. Yeah. I can't remember if they're actually directing, but they're involved.
Cool.
Great book, by the way. It's a really good book.
That has potential then. But good grief. Yeah. It seems like they're desperate for some new IP. Yeah, they really need a Barbie kind of just come out of nowhere and do well for them. But it's not seem to be happening anytime soon. Let's hit a grade here for Madam Web. Kent Garrison, F-. Brian, what about you?
I don't know that we've ever in the history of this show had back-to-back weeks where we've gone F-. But I semi-jokingly said Argyle's maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And then this happened.
Where does this rank with Argyle with you? Neck and neck.
Argyle's longer. They're terrible in completely different ways. It's just,
I think Argyle's way more misguided than this. Think that it's clever. This,
say I that think again. Argyle
thinks it's way better than this, though.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I think one of Argyle's major issues is how clever it thinks that it is, and how clever Matthew.
When Matthew Vaughn shot that smoke dance, he's like, "This is going to be shown in like eight Academy Award reels for the rest of my career.
This is going to be taught in film school for the rest of time." So that's different than this because there's negative ambition in this movie. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that for literally the rest of the year. Because there can't be a worse movie than these two movies. There can't. I can't do it. So I'll hold out. Right now, I put this slightly behind Argyle, but Argyle is longer and has smugness to it that I hate. So that's that may play a factor later in the year. Sorry. F-. Yeah. Horrific movie.
And Richard.
Like I told you guys, we put our dog of 15 years down this weekend, and this movie was the low light. So I'm going to go F-. As well.
Can you please make that your Rotten Tomatoes blurb? Just so the people that made this, you the know they'll see it.
Review that Richard had.
That'll get around the studio. And that has to. Like, this guy...
Olive's legacy.
He put his dog down, and this was worse than that. That is the
she's the real Olive was the real female superhero. May she rest in peace.
That is an all-timer line from Richard. Love it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, before we get out of here, let's hit a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
What you got for us, Richard?
Yeah, I've got a book I finished over the weekend. It's in the film. We talked about a little bit, some movie books that we're all, Brian, I know, is trying to read. It's A Path to Paradise by Sam Wasson. He wrote the Big Goodbye book that I loved. About Chinatown and all of that, and this one's about Apocalypse Now and the making of that, and really the whole Coppola, all the way up through. There's some kind of hints around what we're in for with his new film this year. So it's kind of that whole. It puts you in the setting. It's kind of written in real time of the making of Apocalypse Now and the kind of break, you know, the purposeful breakdown that he put himself through to make that, and all that. So yeah, really, really, really cool book, really well researched. I like the energy in which it's written. It feels really, it just drops you in right away, not unlike the film, and is kind of maniacal and crazy and all the 70s film history that you could ever want. So he's becoming one of my favorite kind of film historians. I really like his writing style. So yeah, highly recommend. Highly recommend by Sam Wasson, The Path to Paradise, Francis Ford Coppola's story.
Nice. I just finished the Chinatown book yesterday.
Oh, nice. So, isn't that great?
It's very good. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Great. Decent movie, too. Decent movie.
Could be
that Nicholson guy might have something.
Is there a good Nicholson biography? I need to read that.
That's a good question
on the Nicholson book. If you got recommends, let me know. I want to.
My favorite actor ever.
I'm very, very interested in 60s, 70s Nicholson, especially just like his whole.
There is one. It appears to be. Hold on. I'll send you some links.
Okay. Cool. My recommend this week is gonna be. So X-Men 97 finally has a release date. It's like March 20th, I think. And so I started watching the original X-Men series, the cartoon with Coop. Cause that was like I freaking loved the X-Men. The show is so good. And, it's been a really long time since I've watched it. So we watched two or three episodes together this weekend. Also got through some of the terrible X-Men movies with him, which has been rough. He's experiencing what we have all experienced. It's, man, the X-Men are awesome. Why are these movies so bad? We watched Days of Future Past this weekend, which he loved. And that's probably the best one. But then we followed it up with the two Wolverine movies and, Apocalypse. And he's just like, man, I really want to like this. And he just, it's terrible. So anyway, we watched the first few episodes of the series of the cartoon and it's as good and as 90s as I remember it. And that is like a major player for me. Big time. Loved that show. I'm watching Batman, the animated series too, kind of just like as my background show right now. And I hadn't seen that in a really long time. And that could be a weekly recommend as well. That's such a great, show. So many cool stuff. So many cool things that happen in the first season of that show. But anyway, X-Men is my official weekly recommend this week. So getting ready for that X-Men 97 in a month or so.
Excited nice. For it too.
I'll recommend this We Are the World doc. Have you guys watched this yet?
No.
Haven't seen it yet. Very high on the list.
Greatest Night in Pop cool. is what it's called. Really good. You guys will dig it. Definitely check that out. One thing that I didn't know about that story, I mean, obviously knew the song, have the record, whatever, but did not know that they did it after an award show and stayed up till 7 a.m. It was like, I guess after the American Music Awards or something. I just figured, oh yeah, they called everybody and everybody came to the studio, but they had to do it while everybody was in town for this award show. And they didn't know who was going to show up, and it's really good. So check it out. A lot of cool footage
Sweet.
From that. And Quincy Jones, I mean, the man.
Yep.
Freaking man.
Awesome.
Love that. And Lionel Richie, low-key American Treasure candidate. Mm. Shout out, Lionel Richie.
Very nice.
All right. That's the Weekly Recommends and Madam Web Talk. But check out that episode we've got on When Harry Met Sally as we wrap up rom-com month here in the Man VIP after we get off here. So until next time, we'll see you at the cinema. All right, goodbye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya. The salads and scrambled eggs.